On page 21, there's one of the most poignant inclusions of documentary or found material. Maybe you can read that and then talk a little bit about what got in and how it got in and what that might lead to.
Yeah, that's great. So thank you for bringing that up and pointing it out, Paul. As I note in the sort of introduction to Skeena, which is also sort of part of the poem, I gesture toward one of the most incredible river poets, I would say, ever. That's, you know, slightly hyperbolic, but I have a tendency toward hyperbolism. Alice Oswald, and she talks about this sort of assemblage nature of poetry. Her poem, Dart, was this incredible multi-year sort of ethnographic investigation into the river, where she actually collected sounds of people and sounds of workers and really stitched and assembled in sort of a bricolage fashion all of these ethnographic observations. I do have a myriad of voices and objects and archival materials that are assembled into Skeena. And after I read this one on page 21, I will talk a little bit about that editing process and about what I attempted to do. So page 21. From Avalanche Accidents in Canada 3, a selection of case histories 1978 to 1984. By the National Research Council of Canada, Institute for Research in Construction, Ottawa, 1987. The Canadian National Railway and Highway 16 cross numerous avalanche paths between Terrace and Prince Rupert, British Columbia. Avalanches frequently cover the railway track and highway, interrupting traffic several times each winter. The accident on January 12, 1982 occurred at Railway Mile 43.5, Skeena Subdivision West of Terrace, and Avalanche Path Number 69.6, known as Rock Face. Accident summary. Railway employees were repairing trucks damaged by removal of previous avalanche snow when another avalanche struck at 15:45 hour. On a warning shout from the watchman, the workmen ran for cover, but four men and four vehicles were caught. The powder component of the avalanche blew two men across the adjacent highway and onto the river ice. A third man was thrown across the highway only and remained on the surface. The fourth one was flung under a 31.4-ton truck, which was also displaced by the avalanche and partially buried.
Yeah, probably the most intense example of found material that's in the book. But, you get a sense of the research because of all the different sources you're citing. And, I remember taking a workshop with George Bowering and talking about the history of Auburn, Washington slaughter. And he said to the group, "See how much fun he's having?"
Well, I think actually research is a very fun process. I think that, let's have full disclosure here, Paul. You're speaking to an academic. You know, I have a PhD in cultural geography. When I hang up on this call, I'm going to set forth to writing a keynote address for the Canadian Association of Geographers, which I've had to research extensively. I think research is a remarkably fun thing. I'll digress for a moment and say I supervise family practice residents in northern BC, and part of their graduation requirement in order to move from resident status to full physicians is that they have to conduct a research project. And they hate it. Every year, it's like pulling teeth. Every year, they say, you know, "Dr. DeLeo, why can't we just engage in our clinical practice? That's what we do. We fix people. Why do we have to undertake this ridiculous research? This isn't going to inform our practice. We just need to be in the office with patients." And I say, often to no avail, "Look, folks, research is fun, it's exciting, and you can answer questions that wildly may inform your practice. And in my case, it informs my practice as a poet. It's very much a process of trying to think through. Skeena is a polyvocal poem, so I needed different voices in it. I needed to understand what different stakeholders in the language of kind of environmental assessment crews, what different stakeholders were thinking about and writing about in terms of the river. when I lived in Terrace and coordinated the Women's Center there, a very good friend of mine, one of my best friends in Terrace, a woman she ran with for years, her husband was killed by an avalanche. And it was a completely devastating loss for the community. So I have been, I mean, not only am I interested in kind of the archival inclusion of various materials and the research that allows for, I would argue, a more genuinely polyvocal voice, not just Sarah DeLeo making up different voices, but actually pulling from the archives, pulling from different media, different venues, various voices that contemplate the Skeena River watershed. But those voices too, I think it's important to remember, those four men likely had families. They undoubtedly knew each other. They were on an avalanche crew working within the Skeena River watershed on the shores of the Skeena River. And I think we can't, again, forget the human interface with the Skeena River and the human interface that manifests as so many different voices and different contemplations. And I think there ought to be space for those different voices, those different sounds. And of course, they're utterly different in tonality, in lineation, in structure, in sound. But I think that there is a poetry to them nevertheless. And I think that they function within a long poem to kind of frame and propel the motion of reading by providing difference, by providing sort of that counterpunctal set of options inside a narrative.
Yes, to wonderful effect, absolutely.